Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, which can be found on page 1 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Now the birth of the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, he was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it appears that one of the most popular Christmas gifts this year is going to be one of those ancestry DNA tests. I know a few of you have taken those results because a few of you have shared your results with me. How many of you have seen the TV commercials for Ancestry.com or 23andMe? We are fortunate to have a geneticist on the congregation, and he endorses Ancestry.com's version. Sorry if you got the 23andMe version, but alas. I also know, on good authority from a congregation family, that it works really well because there are twins in the family, and the second of the twins sent in their results, and they sent back and said, "We've already tested you." So these things are legitimate to some degree. The specificity might be variable based on a variety of factors. Now, that may be a popular gift today, but it wasn't a popular gift or perhaps practical at all or possible at all at the time when Jesus was born. Of course, a DNA test would have been an interesting thing for Jesus to be confronted with. He would have taken it. He would have found some results, and they would have been clear to him but confusing to the rest of us. Now, I don't want to digress into what I think his test results would be. That's confusing. That's really hard to put together an understanding of Jesus and this kind of understanding. But the reality is, when we read and hear of his birth, we can't but help think of where he comes from. We can't help but think of who his father was. And we can't help but think of the impact and the question of who is this man Joseph in his life. Joseph, the father of Jesus, has almost a cameo in the story of Jesus. He comes into the birth narrative briefly as the earthly father of Jesus and then disappears into the pages of history. He must have passed away, we presume, because he doesn't show up much past that one episode of Jesus as a child when he was around 12. No mention of him is made later on in any other part of the gospel. And so there's something to be reckoned with the role that Joseph played in Jesus' life, because of course, as we heard today, and of course as we believe as Christians, it wasn't about the genetics of Joseph that made him important. Rather, it was about the impact, perhaps, that Joseph had on Jesus. Because as important as it is where our biology comes from, when we think about who we are and who we become, it's about the people who raise us. It's about the people who shape what we have from the start to become who we are. Now, for many people, genetics play a big impact and have a huge role on who they become. But for many people, of course, it's about how they're raised and what their parents impart on them. And this is where I think when you read and hear the story of Jesus and his birth in particular, we have something brought forward to us about who Joseph was and who they believed Jesus to be. Now, when we read this story of Jesus, this is one of those times where the language betrays us just a tad. We hear the words of the Gospel of Matthew and Gospel of Luke, and we hear this pronouncement of who Jesus was and where he was going to be born, and it kind of comes to us in a phase of all the different things we hear about Jesus' birth. But what wouldn't have been lost on Joseph, and what wouldn't have been lost on those early followers of Jesus, is that Joseph wasn't from Bethlehem. He was from Nazareth. He wasn't Joseph of Bethlehem, he was Joseph of Nazareth. Just like Jesus wasn't Jesus of Bethlehem, he was Jesus of Nazareth. And so the fact that he wasn't born in his hometown is something that isn't something we can gloss over. It's something that helps us understand the significance of who Jesus would become. He was, of course, brought from Nazareth to Bethlehem by order of Emperor Caesar at the time. You know that part from Luke 2. He had to go to Bethlehem, the whole family did, in order to be counted. Now, the traveling in those days wasn't something people took lightly. It's something that we do on almost a daily basis around here and elsewhere around the world. And so this charge to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem wouldn't have been a welcome thing in general, and certainly wouldn't have been welcomed by almost childbearing Mary. Another fact that I don't think is lost on the women and men who are here today, remember that Mary was very pregnant when Joseph said, "Hey, we got to go somewhere to get counted." Don't think that went over well. And so they arrive in Bethlehem, and Jesus is born. And what would have been impressed upon Joseph that day is that the town of Bethlehem was the city of David. It was the city that David lived in. It's the city that King David was from. And more important than that was the name Bethlehem would have been not the words Bethlehem to them, but Beth and Lahem together in Hebrew, which means house of bread. And so Jesus, who we know to be the bread of life, was born in the city that is the house of bread. And from this city, the bread of life would come, from the house of bread, where bread may have been made in ancient times in a special way. Jesus was born, the one who would become the bread of life. And these things would have dawned on Joseph as being very important, that he would raise Jesus, born in this city, born to him, born to be the bread of life for all people. He would have taught Jesus what that meant. He would have known to teach Jesus about the specialness of his birth, where he came from. And as Jesus grew up in Nazareth, he would have remembered that he was born in the house of bread, eventually to become the bread of life. And so when we hear the word Bethlehem, when we are called to be led back to it, we are led back to be reminded that the bread of life was born in the house of bread. The bread of life that was there for all people is still here for all of us, and we celebrate that gift of hope now and always. So let us remember that in this Christmas season and all the ones to come.